Hello, friends, and welcome to episode number 264 of Bad Flips and Maple Dips. It's Patrick. He's Justin. The regular season is over, and it took 161 games before the Jays were able to clinch their playoff spot, but they did. Justin, it kind of feels weird because at that point, I wouldn't say that I didn't care, but it was just so taxing, the whole, like, the first 160 games. Maybe the hope was beaten out of me. I don't know.
Yeah. How do you feel? I mean, the Jays clinched the playoff spot without winning either of their last two games, so they failed their way into the playoffs thanks to Texas beating Seattle yesterday, and then got demoted to Wild Card 3 by losing today and having Houston win and Texas lose. Today's game, the Jays had zero control over their outcome. It wouldn't have mattered if they would have won or lost, because if Houston won and Texas lost, it wouldn't have made a difference. The Jays would have been Wild Card 3 anyway.
Yeah.
So I was driving home today anyway, so I didn't watch. I watched the last two outs of the game. That's all I could see when I got home, just to see like the post game shenanigans. And didn't watch any of the game yesterday either. So being away the final weekend of the season, I'm kind of in the same boat as you, where it just felt like whatever happens, happens, you know?
Well, the Jays were in the driver's seat going into the weekend. They only needed to win one game, really, and they did.
Yeah.
And Seattle was eliminated yesterday, so there was nothing to play for really today except for seeding, and even then it wouldn't have mattered, like you said, it wouldn't have mattered if they had won today. So they deployed the rare strategy of calling up a player who I had never heard of.
I saw some fans joking on Twitter that it was the win the Be a Blue Jay for a Day contest, which is pretty harsh, but a little bit true.
Yeah, it's totally true. I mean, it was the start went about as well as you expected. It was 8-0. As soon as I tuned in, and I was like, "Oh, okay," and then I just tuned out. That was it.
Yeah,
I get it. I don't think there's anybody on the planet who wouldn't cop to the fact that the Jays sandbagged today with the intention of not caring whether or not they got a wild card 2 or 3, because it wouldn't have mattered. Mm-hmm. Because they had no control, like you said, over whether they won it or didn't. It came down to Houston, so why bother throwing out any of your, you know, regular starters out there? And Ryu pitched yesterday, so what are you going to do?
This is what was always going to happen if they didn't need Kevin Gausman today. It was going to be either a bullpen day or a AAA starter getting a shot, and then the latter happened.
Yeah.
Still some positives from today. Belt hit another home run. He's been swinging the bat well since coming off
the IL.
Happy
to be wrong. Happy to be very wrong about that.
Yeah, we had a bit of a debate in our last episode about this.
I'm happy. I'm not even.
I didn't even bring it up with the intention of being. And I told you so. Moment. I was just making the statement. David Schneider had two doubles, which was nice to see him break out of the slump a little bit.
Absolutely.
And Cam Eating got his first major league hit in the loss today. So, still a few positives there. And I mean, he got an extra inning of work for Mesa, Richards, Cabrera, Green, and Swanson. Mesa, Richards, and Cabrera all gave up a single run in their outings. Again, I'm not worried about it. Today was just get a few more pitches in before the playoffs day. Make sure that they're they're still like relatively in game shape and not just sitting for too long. Everyone gets that day off tomorrow, so everyone will be fresh again for Tuesday night. That's what happened today. We don't have to go into any of these this weekend's games because ultimately they don't matter anymore, because now it's all up to a 3-game wild card series against the Minnesota Twins, Patrick. It wasn't the series we predicted that was going to happen for the Blue Jays. We thought there was going to be, it was looking like it was going to be Tampa all the way, but just the way things shook down with the other three AL East teams, and the Jays only owning the tiebreaker over Houston, who ended up finishing ahead of them, they're pushed down to the third wild card spot and get to travel to Target Field for 3 games.
Hopefully, it's only two games if they can win two. If any Seattle Mariners fans listen to this podcast,
if they do,
not.
I'm sorry that your team
if they do,
blew it.
Very acrimonious end of your season. The Jays were there 2 years ago when they won, 91 games and missed the playoffs. It's a shitty feeling. It sucks.
It happens.
But it also happens. There's also been lots of teams that won like 95, 96 games and never made the playoffs because the playoff format, let's be honest with ourselves, kind of sucks in baseball. It always has. And the wild card, quote unquote, it doesn't make it any better. I understand, like, you really don't have to drag out the playoffs to the point where you have, you know, the same thing that the hockey does. Yeah, with the best set. You don't have to drag it out like that because the human body is only intended to do so much. Athletics, and I don't think there's really a point, but I also think that they should do away with the divisional format, and it should just be the top four teams make it, and then you just do best of five and a best of seven for the ALCS and the best of seven for the World Series. The wild card is stupid.
Well, we're not here to discuss that today.
No, we're not. We're going to blast through a couple of news notes, a couple things that happened in the last few days. We'll do kind of a preview of the upcoming series, but really it's all about getting hyped up for the playoffs, which is weird because we're just so dead inside for having to deal with probably the most emotional season.
We've always been dead inside.
That's true. It's really true. Justin, take us into the news.
Yeah, so prior to today's game, obviously we know Wes Parsons was called up to start the game. The Jays had to make a roster move to correspond with that, and Jay Jackson was designated for assignment, which led to an uproar on Twitter of people being mad. Like, how could they do this? This is a terrible move, blah, 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 blah. Well, here's why they did it. Jay Jackson has had a great season. Nobody can dispute that. He's a free agent after this season, whereas every other pitcher in the bullpen on this roster is under team control.
Except for Jordan Hicks,
but you're not going to DFA Jordan Hicks. Because he's a better pitcher than Jay Jackson at the end of the day. And they're not going to DFA Hyunjin Ryu, even though Ryu won't be on the roster for the wild card series. If the Blue Jays were to advance past the wild card, and they will need a fourth starter, which will likely be Yusei Kikuchi. But let's just say something bad happens to one of those four starters, whether it's Kikuchi, Gausman, Bassett, or Berríos, that ends up getting injured, or has something happened to them, they may need to add Ryu to the rotation, which is why they would not DFA him. So unfortunately for Jay Jackson, he was the guy who was kind of the odd man out in this situation. The good news is that no other team is likely going to pick him up, because in order to pitch in the postseason, you have to be on a team's 40-man roster or 60-day injured list prior to August 31st. Obviously, we're well past that now. So even if the Diamondbacks or the Marlins were to pick him up, he would not be able to pitch for them, and he's going to be a free agent, so there's no point in them doing so. If Jay Jackson takes the outright assignment and goes and reports to AAA, he can then be recalled after 10 days and added back to the Blue Jays roster.
Does that still work even though the AAA season's over?
Yes, there is still a AAA roster. There is still minor league rosters, even though the games are over. That's just still how the roster system works in Major League Baseball. So if the Blue Jays were to advance past the 10th of October, which would put them somewhere around game 3 or 4 of the ALDS, which would be against Houston, Jay Jackson could then be re-added to the playoff roster after that point, and they could DFA Wes Parsons and just do a straight swap. So that would be the case where, let's say, a Blue Jays reliever gets injured, and maybe the Jays make it past Houston and go into the American League Championship Series. Jay Jackson would then be a consideration for a roster spot there. I'm not saying it's likely that he comes back this postseason. I don't think that we'll see him again this year. I would like to see the Blue Jays extend him a contract if they don't choose to re-sign Jordan Hicks, as he has been a good piece in this bullpen. But it is likely that we won't see Jay Jackson again, but it's not impossible. There is still that scenario where he comes back into the fold due to injuries or somebody not performing well, and they choose to add him back into their roster. So, yeah, it's okay. I mean, it sucks. He's a great guy. He's battled through a ton of adversity with his family this season, and has continued to perform well on the field. So it's tough from a personal standpoint of this, but from the business standpoint of we're trying to win a World Series title, the Blue Jays had to make this call. So, and I'm sure Jackson is fully aware of it and understands the nature of the situation. So he's not he wasn't born yesterday, you know.
Yeah, he's aware of the fact that he is at the bottom of the pecking order in the bullpen. So it's not a surprise at all. Shouldn't be a surprise. Probably wasn't. He'll hang out with the team today and then.
Actually,
he probably won't go anywhere.
For what it's worth, he's in the locker room celebrating with the team right now. So he's getting his part in the celebration that he played a contributing factor in. So, yeah.
Do you think Alec Manoah is there?
No, he's not, because he's not on the major league roster and hasn't been for some time and does not deserve to be there. So, I hope he's nowhere near this team right now, because they don't need that attitude right now. But anyway, that's a topic for the offseason. Joey Votto, Patrick, a player that we both adore as a Canadian baseball player.
Yeah.
He played what was likely his final game today, and it didn't last very long. He got tossed for chirping at the umpire from the dugout. Joey actually tweeted out the following: "I cannot holler at the umpire from our team's bench. He was completely justified in ejecting me. For those who want to see me play today, I am sorry." Tough end to what should be a Hall of Fame career for Joey, but I mean,
it is a Hall of Fame career for sure.
It happens. Other final games today: Miguel Cabrera played in his final game. Still another the last player to hit for the Triple Crown in the American League. Won an MVP award. A bunch of All-Star games. Like, this guy's had all the accolades. Has a World Series title. Two World Series titles, I believe. One for sure. I can't remember if he has two or not.
With
the Florida Marlins in his first season.
No, he has one.
One, just that very first one, yeah.
Yeah, no, Jesus, he hasn't played for 25 years.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, Miggy's...
Just 20.
Miggy's career is over. He's finished, still finished, even with his last few years of being mediocre, he's still finished with a career batting average over 300, so...
Hall of Famer, first ballot. To show you.
First ballot, probably unanimous.
One of the best first basemen of all time. Mm-hmm. Blah, 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 blah. Both he and Votto are definitely Hall of Fame locks, but there were two other players whose final, like, regular season game has been completed. Not necessarily their final appearance, which was, I think, last week. But Adam Wainwright has likely thrown his last pitch in Major League Baseball. He got his send-off earlier in the week. And Zach Greinke is probably done. And those are two more guys who are very strong Hall of Fame candidates. Both both won over 200 games, logged a crazy number of innings, number of individual accolades apiece. They're not as strong locks as Miggy and Votto, but I do think they'll get due consideration. And the Veterans Committee will certainly elect to get both of those pitchers into the Hall of Fame in the long run. So you can fight it, but they're both probably going to get in at some point.
Perhaps. In some somber news, Tim Wakefield, former pitcher in Major League Baseball, passed away today. It was actually leaked last week that he was battling brain cancer. Yeah. The family was trying to keep it a secret, but unfortunately some news was leaked out. And he actually did pass away over the weekend. So rest in peace to him. That's tough. Tough way to end.
We got to add one more actually to this. We usually, sometimes, the top of the show, we like to eulogize players who meant a lot to us across different sports. But this one is a baseball, and we didn't get a chance the day that it happened. But Brooks Robinson, one of the greatest third basemen of all time.
Very true.
16 consecutive gold gloves throughout the 60s and 70s. And I think he had one in the 50s, too, in order to get 16 in a row. Passed away at age 86. I hope we're all as lucky to live that long and to have such a storied career, even after baseball. Brooks Robinson...
That's tough. That happened on Tuesday, I believe, correct, that he passed?
Yeah, we didn't get a chance to eulogize him or anything like that. I could talk a lot about Brooks Robinson and how I think he really kind of helped set the table for Cal Ripken, because obviously Brooks was there, and then Cal almost immediately after that kind of jumped into the system.
Yeah.
So the Orioles were definitely very lucky to have those that many quality players back to back in the same or similar position. But the Tim Wakefield stuff, he was really one of like the second last knuckleballer, because the last was Dickey, right?
Yeah, the last like true full time knuckleballers, yeah, that pitched a lot of innings. Yeah, those were the last two.
And Wakefield was only 57, and I didn't even realize it. And what's worse about all of this was I think both Tim and his wife had cancer.
That's correct. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, just an awful thing. Yeah. My heart goes out to. Mm-hmm. To both Sox fans, and obviously the passing of a guy who held a very special place in baseball history with his unique style of pitching, and one of the last knuckleballers. This could be it. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know of any younger pitchers who throw a knuckleball, and I don't know that anybody is teaching the knuckleball, so... It's sad.
Yep. Other baseball news. It's announced that Terry Francona had announced earlier in the year that he was going to be retiring at the end of the season as manager of the Cleveland Guardians. He finishes as a multiple World Series champion as a manager and managed for over 23 years. Of course, longtime Red Sox manager, has been spent the last decade in Cleveland. So one of the good guys around baseball. There was a lot. I was reading some stories earlier today about what players have to say about managing or working with Terry Francona, and they have nothing but good things to say about him. Sounds like he's a typical player's manager. So
close to winning a title in Cleveland as well.
Yep.
On top of the two that he won with Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And it sucks. It sucks that Cleveland. I don't know what they've really been doing the last two or three years, where they had all the tools they needed.
They're playing Moneyball.
But they really, I mean, they played it too hard, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, they got very unlucky in 2019. They won 93 games and missed the playoffs. And then they were bad in 2021. And then they were back to being good. And then they were not good enough this year. But they've traded away so much pitching talent the last, like, 4 years.
Yep.
I don't understand it.
That's what they do out there, though. Buck Showalter will also not be returning as Mets manager. He actually announced it in a press conference that he wasn't coming back. Left the room pretty teary-eyed, and then the Mets came out later and be like, yeah, actually, he's not stepping down. We fired him. So
that's, I don't know.
That's just kind of petty. I don't mean, why not just, like, he said he's not coming back. Why do you have to, like, clarify? It's like the well actually guy, you know? It's just, come on, man. Just let him walk.
Four-time Manager of the Year award.
Yeah.
He won it with the Yankees in 94. He won it again with the Rangers in 2004. They came pretty close. 2022 with the Mets. And, of course, we'll always remember him in Toronto. As
thanks
the guy
for Ubaldo Jimenez.
Yeah. One of the worst calls I have ever seen a manager
Zach
make.
Britton in the bullpen. Yep.
Disastrous, but I mean, we don't have to talk about that. We'll talk about the fact that Terry Francona retires with over 1,700 wins as a manager. Never won the World Series, though.
As a player.
As a manager.
You're talking about Terry Francona? He won it twice.
No. Buck Showalter.
Oh, you just said Terry Francona, so I was
I'm getting mixed up. Buck Showalter never won the World Series as a manager, unfortunately. Yeah.
And he may not be done. Who knows? He might end up getting another job somewhere one day. But let's move to the final standings update here. We'll start with the National League. Of course, we know the Atlanta Braves clinched the division a long time ago. They finished as the top seed. They'll be joined in the first round by the LA Dodgers, who won 100 games this year. The Brewers ended up winning the Central Division. And it ended up not really being close for that Central Division. They ended up beating the Cubs by 9 games.
Yeah,
even
the
though
Cubs
had a better run differential than them, but it is what it is.
The Cubs and Cincinnati both faded hard the last 2 weeks.
That's correct.
Died off.
Top wild card winner, Philadelphia. They won 90 games. They finished 6 games ahead of the Miami Marlins, who won 84. They only won 84 and 77, which is only 161 games. But that's because they had a game suspended against the Mets on Thursday night. but the outcome of that game won't matter because they had won the season series against Arizona, who finished with the same amount of wins as them, but also one more loss. Arizona grabs the third wild card spot in the National League, meaning that Philadelphia will host Miami for three games and the Milwaukee Brewers will host the Arizona Diamondbacks for three games. So it's nice to see teams that like Miami and Arizona get into the playoffs again. I know Miami made it. Yeah, Miami made it in the shortened 2020 season, but it's good to see them and Arizona make it. And it's good to see teams like, obviously, the Cubs are back in there this year after a couple bad seasons, only one game back. The Reds had a really good year, some young talent starting to show up there. And then the Padres, who finished September with a crazy record, but still managed to finish above 500. But that's what happens when you lose so much in the regular season. Early on in the season, you just can't make up for it. So they finished close as well.
Crummy thing about the Cubs, though, is they're likely going to lose both Cody Bellinger and Marcus Stroman to...
Yeah, free agency.
Free agency. They're just going to get overpaid by somebody else, maybe most Toronto. Likely. But... Yeah, and that's the thing is, like, that's the difference for them between having a rebuild season and actually being super close to making the playoffs.
Yeah.
Are those two guys, and they're going to lose them both.
They have some young talent that's on the ups there, too, which is good to see. But moving over to the American League, of course, we're all familiar with this, but Baltimore finished at the top seed there. They won 101 games. Houston, who won the division today, finishes with 90 wins. They finish they actually finished tied with Texas, but owned the tiebreaker over them because they obliterated them a few weeks ago, and two games ahead of Seattle, who end up missing the playoffs. The Minnesota Twins have had the Central Division wrapped up for some time. They actually finished ahead of the second place Detroit Tigers, Patrick, who finished better than the Cleveland Guardians did. So Houston and Baltimore will have the first round bye, of course. Playing in Minnesota will be the Blue Jays. The winner of that will go to Houston. Playing in Tampa Bay will be Texas and Tampa, with the winner of that series going to Baltimore. So the Jays, while it may look like an easier path, as we're about to talk about, it may not be the case, because obviously Houston are the reigning World Series champions. And before you even get to think about them, you've got to take down the Minnesota Twins, who the Blue Jays split their season series with, but they were all relatively close games. And the Twins team, Patrick Marsh, seemed to have Kevin Gausman figured out when they played against him. So we'll see how things shake out on Tuesday.
You know, it's kind of interesting because on one hand, the Jays went 22-10 against the AL Central this season.
Mm-hmm.
But the only team that they did not win the season series against in that division,
Minnesota. Yeah.
But that's the thing. That's baseball. This was a possible, however likely, outcome. And I didn't anticipate it. I expected the Jays to be playing Tampa. And finding them in this position now is kind of awkward because I kind of expected them to be on the other track where they would have to play Tampa and then Baltimore. But instead, it's Minnesota and Houston, that track.
Mm-hmm.
So it's weird. It feels like they're in the wrong place in the wild card standings. But that's what happens, I guess, when you sandbag your you're kind of sandbag your last game. I mean, I guess it doesn't matter, but the matchups intrigue me. Tampa versus Texas. I know that Tampa is wounded. There's no McClanahan, and one of their other players who we don't have to talk about is probably
never playing again. Yeah,
probably either never playing again or never playing in MLB again. We don't have to talk about that, but they're still a good team. They're still built to win playoff games. They're still super deep. Their bullpen is a lot better than what it was at the start of the season. They're still winning games, and Texas didn't really have a great ride getting into the very end of the season.
They were kind
of
hot to start September and then just were a roller coaster the last week or so after they played the Blue Jays.
I don't know. I would have preferred playing Tampa because I see them as like wounded. I see them as being vulnerable. While Minnesota, I don't know enough about them to be really scared, but I mean, I don't know. What's your gut as far as if you had your choice between Minnesota and Tampa? Who would you have preferred to see?
Well, I talked about it last episode. I preferred Tampa just based on the fact that you know what the environment's going to be like at the Trop because of the indoor environment versus Minnesota, where, I mean, I'm not sure what the weather's like where you are, Patrick, but I live 16 hours north of Minnesota or northwest of Minnesota, and daytime highs here this week are anywhere between 10 and 15 degrees Celsius. So
yeah,
I haven't looked at the Minnesota forecast, but Minnesota has a pretty similar climate to me and similar city with a river running through it where rainstorms can come and just kind of settle in. So I don't know. I haven't looked ahead that far, but I was looking forward to Tampa based on the fact that you know it's going to be a controlled environment. The weather is never going to play a factor in a place like that unless there's a hurricane that cancels games, you know, or an ice chip that falls up the CN Tower and blasts a hole in your stadium's roof. But, like, it's very unlikely that weather is going to play a factor for those games. Versus in Minneapolis, you're going to have wind. You could have rain. You could have cold. I don't know what the game times are going to be like. Yeah, if they're playing in the afternoon, obviously it'll be a little bit warmer out. But if they're playing into the evening, it'll be cooler. And as the game goes on, that could play a factor in some things.
It's actually bad for Texas, too, because Texas went 40-41 at home or away this season.
Yeah.
While they were 50-31 when they played at home in Texas. And the only way that they will get to play with home field advantage
is by winning this first year.
Is by getting to the ALCS and their opponent is the Jays. Wouldn't that be a delicious twist? But a couple things about the Minnesota Twins. First of all, cannot take for granted the fact that they did win 87 games.
Yes.
They went 47-34 at home while they were 40-41 away. All three of these games will be played in Minnesota, so their home field advantage is very distinct in this series. The Toronto Blue Jays, of course, they I'm trying to see what their record was at home or on the road. They were 46-35 while they were 43-38 at home. So Jays are kind of road warriors, and while the Twins won fewer games, and yes, the Twins had way more games against weaker opponents in a weaker division, blah, 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 the Twins are still division champion, and they went 18-10 in September/October, and they were 15-12 in August. So they absolutely earned their way into a playoff spot. Really, the only slouch in the season for Minnesota was May and June when they went 12-15 for both of those months. And ever since then, they've been very good. So this is not...
And I mean,
yeah,
they've played better than what people thought they would too, especially based on the fact that, you know, like Byron Buxton has only played in half their games this season and only played DH because his knee's been bugging him. There's still a chance he may be added to the playoff roster, but it looks like Royce Lewis may end up playing more DH there. And Carlos Correa has been battling injury. He hasn't been very good all season as well. And he may be back for the playoffs too. So the Jays are playing a team who have made it to the playoffs without the contributions of Correa and Buxton being anywhere near what they were expected to be this season. So another reason why you can't take it for granted. I mean, Edouard Julien from Quebec has been very good for them. He's in his rookie year, played just over 100 games, had a solid season, gets on base quite a bit. Max Kepler was probably their offensive star this year for a guy who played the majority of the season along with Royce Lewis. They have a bunch of guys on their team who are, it's almost like a Tampa Bay Rays style where they're kind of scrappy. They have tough at bats. They'll grind out walks. They'll hit for contact more so than just homering their way on base like the Braves do, you know.
They're not a power team.
Yeah, they and I mean the Jays really haven't been a power team either this season. They've been a pitching team. So it's really, I think when you look at these two teams, they're a little bit similar in the way they've gotten to the playoffs. The Jays were helped out by some great performances from Davis Schneider coming up, kind of similar to what Julien did for the Twins, even though Julien has way more time, obviously. Kevin Biggio finished the season strong. George Springer really came on. Alejandro Kirk had a pretty solid September. So you had some guys that weren't expected to be big contributors for you really step up down the stretch. With guys like Matt Chapman faded hard for the rest of the season after April. Vladdy had moments. Bo battled injuries. Belts just came back. You know, like it's been kind of a couple of teams who had similar circumstances where players you thought would carry them didn't, and other guys stepped up to fill the void. So I think offensively these teams kind of profile very similar in that regard.
I think it's close. I would still give the edge to the Jays in terms of power, but perhaps not.
And also in playoff experience with guys like George Springer, right? So
Brandon Belt, yeah.
A couple World Series champions.
Hanging out with those World Series rings.
Yeah.
Would love to add another one. I think the difference or like the X factor in this series is going to end up being pitching. Mm-hmm. And with all due credit to the Minnesota Twins staff, the Jays pen is probably top three in baseball, and their starting rotation is top like four or five, maybe. I think it's definitely top five.
Yeah.
The edge again goes to the Jays. If you look at the stats, I'm not saying this because this is a Jays podcast. If you go look at all of the advanced stats for both these teams for mm-hmm. pitching, you will see that the Jays are ahead in most of them. That's how numbers work.
Yeah, the Twins have announced Pablo Lopez for game one.
Not a surprise.
It's likely, I mean, it's going to be Kevin Gausman for game one for the Blue Jays. But we don't know further than that whether the Twins will go with Sonny Gray game two. It's likely that it'll be Sonny Gray, but the Jays could go with either Berríos or Bassett, depending on which matchup they feel is better. It'd be cool. So it's going to depend on what happens in game one as well. If the Twins win game one, the Jays will likely, I would say they might likely go with Bassett in game two. I think he's been a little bit more consistent this season. So I think if you're down a game, I think you go with Bassett. But if you win game one, it'd be really cool to go with Berríos and give him a chance to clinch a series in the park where he spent the most of his early career. So
I think you have to just do it day by day. It is worth noting that the Jays are actually, their WHIP and average is below the Twins. However, their team ERA is about decimal 1.0 lower than the Twins. The Twins are still one of the best pitching teams in baseball. They're, like you said, I think they are very similar teams.
Yeah, you do have to look a little bit at divisions here too, though, right? I mean, even though division games aren't weighted as a large of a percentage of your schedule as they used to be, mm-hmm. no other teams in the AL Central finished within 9 games of the Twins, right? Like, they've had this thing locked up for a while.
Yeah, and the Twins team OPS is actually higher than the Jays, but it's it's very close. It's 753 to 746, and again, you're right. As much as I want to give Minnesota their flowers for getting to this spot, the strength of opponents absolutely is a factor. The Jays only played 32 games against the American League Central this season, and they won 22 of them and lost 10.
Yep.
The Twins.
We do have game times announced, by the way.
Game times are announced. We'll talk about that in just a second, but I mean, like, I'm trying to find the numbers for the Twins, but I guess it doesn't matter.
Everyone really starts at zero now.
Everything starts at zero right now.
You've got 3 games to win 2, and you have to win 2 to keep your season alive. So it's do or die now. The games, by the way, are all scheduled for 4:38 p.m. Eastern time. So it'd be 3:38 local time in Minneapolis. The Rangers and Rays are actually starting earlier. They get the they start at 3:08 Eastern. Well, they're playing all games on the 3 days now. They're not going to alternate. So they've got 4 games each day. So they stagger in the start time. So Tampa and Texas will start at 3 o'clock. Jays and Twins 4:30, D-backs and Brewers at 7:08.
Yeah.
And then the Mets and or Marlins and Phillies at 8:08 Eastern time. So
yeah, it's definitely weighted in favor of the National League teams because a lot of them are West Coast teams. Like Miami and Philadelphia, those are two of the largest.
Those are East Coast teams, and they're both East Coast, and they're playing the latest games. But I mean, it's still typical start times are 7 o'clock local Eastern time, so mm-hmm. or 7 o'clock local time. So I mean, really, the teams who are getting the shaft here are the American League teams. But I mean, it is what it is. Outside in Target Field, I'd rather play earlier in the afternoon, as I was just talking about weather.
Yeah,
because you'll still have daylight at that point. It will be warmer than it would be at a 7 o'clock start time by probably a handful of degrees. So that could make a pretty large difference in terms of grip on the baseball for pitchers. So I'm actually kind of happy about that. About the start times. So yeah, 4:38 p.m. Eastern time each of the games.
That means that it's very likely that these games, and there's no Manfred runner, is there, in the postseason?
I'm not 100% certain on that. I'm going to look that up.
Look it up while I talk a little bit then. Because we'll talk a little bit more about what we can assume are going to be the starters. I don't have much to say about the Twins. Sonny Gray had a pretty strong season, and Pablo Lopez hits like almost every major metric in like a top percentile. If you look at advanced stats, he had a tremendous season. I don't know how they do this because, I mean, obviously Lopez is going to be game one. So it'll be Lopez versus Gausman. It's like I said, I do think it kind of has to be day to day. I think if you're Minnesota and you win the first game, I think you put out Joe Ryan in the second game and then force the Jays into having Berríos pitch the second game, and then the third game would be Sonny Gray versus Chris Bassitt, which would arguably you could give the advantage to Minnesota, but still those all three are fantastic pitching matchups. I don't know that there's really a soft spot in either one of these. So my guess is going to be that whatever team wins the first game is going to win the series. That's my prediction. So hopefully the Jays win, because it would kind of suck to get swept for the third time in four seasons in the playoffs. And it would start calling into question the, you know, what this team is going to do if they can't win a single playoff game.
Yeah, so no extra runner in for start extra innings, so they'll be back to traditional baseball for extras if needed. They're still using the pitch clock. Bases will be the same. All the other rules are the same. It's just no Manfred man, ghost runner, whatever you want to call it,
It could be a slugfest. There could be some 14, 15 inning squeakers, especially that Texas-Tampa series.
Yeah.
That's what Tampa thrives on, though. They want maximum chaos. They want it to be 14 or 15 innings when a team just gives out. They run out of bullpen. The Jays don't have that weakness, though, and I don't know that the Twins do either, but we're going to find out by the end of Game 1, I think, which team has the gas, and I think whatever team wins the first game will be the team that wins the series. So we'll see. It's exciting. Playoff baseball is back. It's going to be... Get your Pepto ready, though, because none of this... There's no easy games. There's no soft schedule. There's no matchup here that's really, straightforward or simple.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to say,
who's
man.
Who's your X factor in this series for the Blue Jays?
In the lineup, Brandon Belt. I'll just say it again because it bears repeating. I was very wrong about whether or not he was going to be ready. And I think the fact that he looked so strong in his return games doesn't bode well for Minnesota at all. I think that the fact that he is a lefty is an advantage. I don't know.
And for the Blue Jays, or for the Twins, who's your X factor for them? could be pitching or offense.
Well, I was going to say pitching, the X factor, I think, is going to end up being Jordan Romano. And then for the Jays, hitting, the X factor for Minnesota, could be Carlos.
You think Correa? Yeah.
I mean, he had such a terrible season.
Yeah, but he's also a World Series champion with Houston, too. Him and Jay Springer go way back, right?
That's
playoff,
the thing.
Playoff performers.
He's got playoff moxie.
Yep.
So I say him, and when it comes to pitching, can't count out Sonny Gray. He had such a good year. I don't know. I think if they have to face him, that's going to suck.
For me, I'm going George Springer. I think if this team's going to win in the playoffs, they need their leadoff man to be playoff George Springer. And then for the Twins, I'm going with Joan Duran out of the bullpen. If the Twins can get a lead late into the game and give the ball to him, he's almost untouchable. And I think if the Blue Jays can't do some damage off of him, or keep him out of games, or have him pitching in games where the Twins are losing, I think they'll be in big trouble. If they get into games where the Twins are up and Duran's going to have the bullpen, and they're in deep shit. So yeah, I'll go with Springer and Duran.
I think... I think the eighth inning is going to be, like, for all three games. I don't know how many games will end up being played, but I think those eighth and ninth innings are going to be tough to watch.
Yeah, they're going to be butthole-clenching moments for sure.
And it's I'm interested to see which Eric Swanson we're going to get.
Which Jordan Romano are we going to get, you know?
That's scary, too, is that they're, like, I mean, I'm not trying to...
There's definitely some question marks around the late innings of this team lately.
The Swanson has been fine. He's ERA is 2.96 in his last 30 appearances. Yeah. That being said, some timely mistakes. The K's are not quite... They're down a little bit from what they were earlier in the year. Maybe it's just he ran out of juice. I mean, he definitely was way above his career high for innings. So
yeah, he's already long past that.
He was kind of forced into that situation. But Romano... in his last seven games has not been good. It's only two performances, one against Tampa on September 23rd and once against the Yankees on the 26th.
Yeah.
Where he gave up multiple runs. Those are games the Jays could have won. I think like the XX factor is like, it's going to be like, what's Tim Mesa going to do? Like, I think the days of him, Tim Mesa, coming in to get that one out or two outs, I don't know, man. I think they should try to lean on Tim a little bit more, get their bang for their buck out of him, because he definitely, down the stretch, was super important. And then, I don't know, like, what do you do with Yenesis Cabrera? He was not good his last 15 appearances.
Mm-hmm.
That's partly because he got lit the hell up a couple times.
Yeah.
way back against Texas when they beat our faces in. Actually, that's the only one that's dramatically affected his statistics since joining the Jays. But, like, still... Schneider's going to have to be on the ball when it comes to how he deploys his relievers. I don't want to see Trevor Richards in a high leverage situation, and I'm really still nervous about Jimmy Garcia. I don't know why. I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
My trust has been shook a little bit in those two guys. They have not really been great down the stretch. Garcia has bounced back quicker, but Richards not so much. I don't know, man. I think it just comes down to who's the better manager when it comes to deploying, and then let the guys who are good do their thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think they got to try give Tim Mesa a chance, give him the highest leverage situation.
It's tough too. I mean, you know, you're going into the playoffs with Tyler Heineman being your backup catcher.
That sucks.
So it's really going to be tough for the Blue Jays to deploy a pinch runner for Alejandro Kirk until later in the game, because you don't want too many Tyler Heineman at bats. Let's say you're down 1-0 in the sixth inning and Kirk gets on base with a single or something, it's even hard to justify pinch running for him there because you know that his spot in the batting order will come around at least once more. Yes, you need to score a run, but Alejandro Kirk is more likely to hit a home run or to do something offensively later in a game than Tyler Heineman is. Heineman's a great defensive catcher. We can't say anything negative about him there. But offensively, he's not near Alejandro Kirk, even in a down year for Kirky. So that's going to be interesting to see for me is how they deploy pinch runners. I'm guessing Cam Eden likely makes this team as a bench bat for that pinch running role.
Yeah.
He'd be a guy where you get a guy on and you're down a run anytime after the sixth inning. I think you might have to put him in if it's a slower runner, say like a Belt or a Kirk. Most of the guys on this team are pretty good base runners, so I'm not too worried about that. But definitely with Kirk, he is by far the slowest runner. And Heineman's not much faster, so it's going to be tough to see. Or tough to predict how they're going to deploy pinch running situations like that. So one thing to keep an eye on there. It's a bit of a deficiency for the Blue Jays in offensively at catcher right now for a position that was a strength of theirs until Jansen got hurt. So something to keep an eye on anyway.
Yeah, that makes me super nervous. And I mean, ultimately, maybe Vladdy is the ultimate factor. I mean, if the Jays don't go anywhere, Vladdy doesn't hit well.
Yeah, I mean, it's likely. I mean, I'm looking at the lineup in this sense. I mean, you're going to be facing three right-handed pitchers. You know, all of Minnesota's pitchers starters are right-handed. So you're probably going to go something what the Blue Jays have done the last couple of days, today excluded, of course, with Springer leading off, Belt's likely hitting second, and then Vladdy and Bo. So you put that lefty in between Springer and Vladdy there and Belty. And then you probably go Biggio after Bo, honestly, in the fifth spot. Has a patient, obviously a patient hitter. Maybe Kirk after him, KK after that, and then Chappie and Varsho at the bottom. I don't want to see Matt Chapman hitting anywhere above seventh in this series. Yes, he's hit a couple home runs in the last few games, but that doesn't erase the last 5 months of brutal baseball from him offensively. And I think Varsho being at the bottom of the lineup, he's been hitting better recently. I think you keep him down there. It takes the pressure off of him offensively a little bit. And anything you get out of him offensively in this series, getting on base for Springer at the top of the order, Varsho with that speed is a threat to steal bases as well as score from first on a double, which Springer is more than capable of hitting. So I think you have to stagger this lineup with springing those lefties in so that the Twins can't utilize their good relief pitchers against three right-handers later on in the game. So I think that's probably what they'll do. That's what they've been doing the last few games anyway, and I think that's how it'll stick personally.
Well,
I mean, you change it up. If a guy goes 0 for 4 with 4 strikeouts in the first game, maybe he doesn't hit in that spot again in the second game. So is what it is. But let's go do some predictions here, Patrick. What's your prediction for the series?
Jays 2, Minnesota 1.
Yeah, I'm going Jays in 3 as well. I think
the bare minimum that we can guess
is a sweep either way. But I think Jays in 3. I do think that the Jays have 3 starters who are better than the Twins' 3 starters on paper. I don't know. It's going to really depend. Like, game one's going to be, obviously, game one is huge in a 3-game series because you put the other team on, one team's on the verge of being eliminated after the first game. But I think if Gausman can give you 6 innings and you're up, I think that's all you can expect in a playoff start. You don't want to push too far in a playoff game. Unless he's like throwing like a perfect game or some shit and the Jays are up 10-0, then you can push him a little bit. But you don't want to, you can't, if it's a close game and you're up after 6 innings by 1 run, I think you got to go to your bullpen. You've got your Mazes, you've got Swanson, you've got Hicks, you've got Romano back there. You've got 4 guys who can get you 9 outs at that point. And that's how playoff baseball works. You got to get it to the hands of your best relief pitchers with a lead. And then it's in their hands from there. And hope your offense can add on against the other team's best relievers. Because, you know, the Twins will throw their best if it's a close game as well either way. So it's going to come down to the bullpens, I think, is the true X factor in this series will be bullpen pitching. I think that's how it'll be won and lost.
That haven't won a playoff game in
the Twins haven't won in 16 years or whatever it is.
Yeah, it's like 16, 17 years, while the Jays, it hasn't been 2016 where they won a playoff game.
Yeah.
And the window is wide open for this Jays team. In my opinion, losing this series, even if it's in three games, has to be unacceptable.
Yeah.
Like, just getting into the playoffs is not enough. This is a team that's supposed to be competing to win championship games.
Yep.
Whether it's the ALCS or the big one, the World Series. So the way I look at it is you kind of got to take it series by series, because if you look at, you start thinking about the Atlanta Braves, you're going to be checking under your bed at night for their top five hitters, and they're all going to be there and they're going to psych you out. So don't think about the Braves. Don't think about the Dodgers. Don't think about the Astros. Don't think about anybody except for Pablo Lopez. You've got 2 days to prepare. The Toronto Blue Jays have to win this series.
I agree.
They absolutely have to. Anything less than making it to the ALCS is an unmitigated disaster for the club because of the amount of resources they have pumped into this team to make it competitive. If they can't get there, then they have to take a really hard look at how the team's assets are being managed, how the team is being coached, and make some changes. But that being said, I'm trying to set the table because this is maximum pressure baseball. If you thought that the first 162 games were stressful just to get in on the second to last day of the regular season, all of that is wiped away now. And it comes down to three games against a team that is just as good as Toronto and is just as hungry to end a playoff drought. So it's going to be dangerous. It's a cage fight. Every game is going to be a slugfest, and only one of these teams is going to advance. And it's going to be very, very good baseball. Buckle up.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I don't know what else to add to that. That was well said. Oh, yeah, I'm excited. You know, playoff baseball is always fun. There's nothing quite like it. You go 6 months of this 162 game grind to get to this moment, and it can all be over in 2 days. That's the beautiful reality of it all, is that after 6 months of work, it could be over in 2 days' time, and it could go on for another 4 weeks if you're lucky. Baseball.
Buckle up. That's it, man.
Baseball.
Buckle up. Postseason baseball, it is.
It's built different.
I think it's more heartbreaking than hockey. Certainly more heartbreaking than the one-game playoffs they do in football.
Yeah. The stakes are high, man.
The stakes are super high. These are some of the most expensive sports franchises in North America. And, like, some of these teams, like, L.A. ain't dicking around.
No.
Atlanta's not screwing around. Houston, their window is open. This might be their last year to do what they're doing with this group of players. And, I mean, there's a lot of young talent in Minnesota. There's a lot of young talent in Toronto. There's a ton of young talent in Baltimore. And yeah, that is a city absolutely bursting at the seams, wanting a win. And Baltimore has already lapped Toronto as far as,
yeah, they're chilling until Saturday.
they're chilling until Saturday, and not just that, but they just won 101 games. That team could lose the divisional series, and that's still an incredible season for them, because their window opened up a couple years after Toronto's, but they're already playing better baseball than Toronto. So the pressure has to be on these players 2 days from now to step up to the plate and deliver what they have been talking about for multiple seasons. This is the start of the movie that they kept talking about, those stupid quotes. This is it. The curtains are up. The whole world is going to be watching this Jays team, and if they cannot deliver, they deserve every bit of criticism that they're going to receive. But I think people are going to be surprised that this season is going to be different than last year or 2020.
I'll make you there. If you like what we do, if you can see everything that we're posting on Twitter at BFMD Podcast. Website is bfmdpodcast.com. We will be back after the conclusion of this wild card series. We'd love it to be Thursday after a 2-0 sweep. And we just take as much time as we want on Thursday, but more than likely we'll be back either Thursday night or Friday at some point to preview the American League Divisional Series round. Hopefully we're still talking about the Blue Jays being involved in that by that point, but it's out of our hands, as it always has been. But for Patrick out in Halifax, I am Justin here in Saskatoon, and we will see you next time.